This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Victoria Coates, Senior Fellow of the Center for Security Policy, former National Security Council member, especially to do with the world of the Middle East. And we turn our attention to decisions made in these last days by the Palestinian Authority not to go forward with the elections that were teased all during the spring. Now, nothing remarkable about not going forward. These elections have not gone forward for many years. Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the PA, has not been elected or in his four-year term for more than a decade. Well, we approach two decades. However, the question of the elections points to another significant factor that was not present many years ago when the Palestinians were blaming Israel and Israel was looking for help from the United States. What is present today, and Victoria makes it very clear in her New York Post comment on this, is the Abraham Accords. Victoria, a very good evening to you. The Abraham Accords, the celebration of Israel making common cause or a people's peace with its heretofore unknown adversaries. The UAE is mentioned prominently, but there are other states joining, states that are dominated by the Islam, by Islam, Muslim religion. However, the puzzle here is not the Abraham Accords, a great success, not Jerusalem going through the Groundhog Day elections that have been true for the last several years. Each time there's no particular winner, not even for Mahmoud Abbas, who called off the elections again. The question is the Biden administration, the new player on the field. You write that the Biden administration is treating the Abraham Accords as part of the normalization deals. Translate, please, for us, Victoria. What is a normalization deal, and why would the Biden administration not celebrate the Abraham Accords? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me on. That is an excellent question, because normalization, as I write in the Post piece, is something of a dirty word in the Middle East. It's seen as a cop-out, as a betrayal of the Palestinian cause that one would engage in economic and cultural engagement with Israel instead of trying to treat Israel as a pariah state. And so, by refusing to use the formal term of Abraham Accords, which refers to the three Abrahamic faiths, the administration is really trying to downgrade what was achieved with the Abraham Accords. And in terms of the Palestinians, this should really be a wake-up call that their so-called cause has been rejected by the Arab world.
The Trump administration made significant changes in the relationship between Israel, the United States, and the whole question of the Palestinian controversy, moving the embassy, the Abraham Accords, and making it very clear that Mahmoud Abbas vouchsafing the payment of terrorists in jail for murder, mass murder in many instances, was unacceptable. Those changes were made. We can expect a new administration, especially one that campaigned with the slogan, "We're not them," to make changes. However, the puzzle is, why not take credit for the success of the Abraham Accords? Why not go forward and build on it? After all, that is what is happening with the economy. That is what is happening with the pandemic, with the vaccine. So what is the hesitation? Do you see it, Victoria, that Mr. Biden would not embrace the Abraham Accords and look for more?
Unfortunately, I think for the Biden administration, the Abraham Accords are diametrically opposed to their one policy priority for the Middle East, which is getting back into the Iran nuclear deal. The sort of the warming of relations between Israel and their Arab neighbors creates a much more powerful bloc than Iran could ever hope to be, and should rightly put the Iranian regime on the defensive. The administration is trying to elevate the Iranian regime and empower it. And so for them, the Abraham Accords are a road bump, not something to be fostered. And, you know, if I were they, I would be going full bore ahead with the warming relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia, for example, and trying to formalize that deal. But they're utterly uninterested in it.
You will recall during the Obama administration, which is relevant here because, after all, the vice president is now president of the United States, and there are many players in both administrations who are present right now you will recall that the formula or the way forward or the guidepost was to settle the Palestinian-Israeli dispute. Has that been replaced by the Iran deal, or is that mentioned as important to the Biden camp?
Well, they've taken some small steps towards going back to the future in a way. They return to the policies of the Biden administration. But, I mean, quite frankly, these were the policies of the George W. Bush administration as well, which was that a deal with the Palestinian had to precede warming ties with the Arab world, and that a deal with the Palestinians was going to have to involve Jerusalem, the 67 borders, all of these kind of talking points. And what President Trump had done was really upend that conventional wisdom. And instead, he said, look, we're going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. We're going to recognize the Golan Heights as sovereign Israeli territory. And it brought a great deal of clarity to the situation that Israel is a great and good ally of the United States, which should not be a controversial position. But this administration is turning a blind eye to what you mentioned, the pay-to-slay odious policy of paying terrorist murderers, and they're talking about reopening the PLO office in Washington, D.C., and apparently ignoring Abbas's very violent, heated rhetoric against specifically the United States, and continuing to give him millions and millions of dollars that President Trump had frozen on the grounds that we don't give money to people who hate us.
You mentioned the possibility of a rapprochement with Iran. The puzzle here, and I don't want to solve the Iran deal in this conversation, I just puzzle. Once the Iran, best case scenario, once the Iran deal is reawakened, does that mean that the administration will turn to the Palestinians, or is this a predicate for the U.S. backing away from the whole Middle East story?
I would probably say the latter, and it's worth noting that one of the chief instigators of the violence that's currently going on in Jerusalem is the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei. If you want to take a look at his Twitter feed over the last couple of days, and worth noting he's tweeting in English, his subjects can't see Twitter because it's blocked in Iran, but he likes to tweet. And he's tweeting about how Palestinians should take up violence and resist the Israelis, and that he is cheering them on. He's basically using the Palestinian people as cannon fodder. Meanwhile, you know, their choices at the ballot box, if they were given the opportunity to vote, are between the corruption of Abbas and the terrorism of Hamas. I mean, this isn't even a choice. And so, you know, one of my arguments is if you do want to engage in the peace process, you know, now we have the clarity of the Abraham Accords. We know where the Arabs stand. We really have an opportunity to make a fresh start. Don't go back to the failed policies of the past. Don't force the Palestinians into that. But we really need to start anew.
Are we leaving the region, Victoria? Can you tell? Afghanistan, departure, Iraq, not so much, the Iran deal, and the Palestinians. Do we, I don't know, the metaphor is wash our hands and go home?
Well, the administration certainly is. I think there are plenty of people still, both in the private sector and in the Congress, who understand that you may try to leave the Middle East, but it's not going to leave you. If you look at a map geographically, it's a crux point. So much of the world's energy resources are there. So many of the world's people are there. And we can try to turn a blind eye, but I'll tell you two parties who aren't, and that's the PRC, the People's Republic of China, and the Russian Federation, both of whom are expanding their footprint in the Middle East because they understand the strategic significance of it.
Victoria Coates, writing at the New York Post, a senior fellow for the Center for Security Policy, former deputy national security advisor during the Trump administration, commenting on the postponement again of Palestinian elections. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.